doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Court of Appeals, the virtual Court of Appeals as we are today. This is the third of our three oral arguments that we are proceeding with via WebEx. And we've had relative success this morning, and so we expect that to continue in your matter as well. Judges Ross and Reyes are joining me, Judge Sleater, in this proceeding. Other than our remote accessibility today, everything else should be pretty much as you might expect, with each party having 15 minutes, up to 15 minutes for argument, and counsel for appellant with 5 additional minutes for rebuttal if you choose. You can see the time clock, which is being operated by Jack Fink, our marshal today, and so hopefully you'll continue to see that. If at any time during the proceeding you have some technological issue, try to let us know. And when we have had that in the past, we simply instruct the marshal to stop the clock until we can get it corrected so that we can continue to see and hear you. Most importantly, of course, to hear you as well. And so I'll just note first for the record that this proceeding is file A19-1687. Jane Swenson, Amdahl petitioner respondent versus Keith Solomon Mohaban appellant. And so when counsel for appellant, you are ready, if you would identify yourself for the record, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Joni Moberg and I represent the appellant in this matter, Keith Mohaban. The primary issue here is the district court's interpretation of the cap on tier two spousal maintenance. And Mr. Mohaban submits that the district court decision in that regard was wrong as a matter of law and should be reversed. It's critical to recognize, Your Honors, what is not in dispute in this case. The district court knew when it authored the 2017 judgment and decree that the mortgage on the home that was being awarded to wife was expected to be paid off in 2018. And it was also known that that would then result in a reduction to her budget of nearly $2,000, $1,963 to be precise. Also not disputed is that reduction for the court would be a 20% reduction of the court's determined budget for wife, which at the time of the divorce was $9,617. Judge Bev Benson was the district court judge who heard the trial, and she authored the dissolution judgment and decree. Thereafter, the case was reassigned to Judge Sandy, and he heard all of the motions after that, including the motion for amended findings. This was generally done by written submissions. In the post-decree orders that are subject to this appeal, the court determined that wife's budget is now $7,654, and that has not been appealed. That reduction is the result of the mortgage having been paid off as anticipated. The district court also determined that wife's maintenance should be reduced by $14,400 as a result of that reduction to her budget. And that reduction and the amount of the reduction has not been appealed by the respondent. So the main questions are the math of that $14,400 reduction, and more significantly on the issue of the cap on spousal maintenance in the tier two maintenance. Here, Judge Sandy interpreted the initial judgment and decree as having no cap on tier two spousal maintenance, meaning that after Mr. Mohaban keeps enough of his bonus on the front end to affect that $14,400 reduction, his remaining bonuses and distributions are divided equally between the parties without limit and without any qualification. This is extraordinary, Your Honors. It's extraordinary because no one asked Judge Sandy to interpret the decree at all. This was a question of whether changed circumstances should result in a maintenance reduction to the tier two cap, and if so, how much? No one, neither party at any time prior to Judge Sandy making this decision, raised a question about how tier two and its cap should be implemented. The only question raised was whether the cap should be reduced, and if so, by how much. I've represented Mr. Mohaban for more than 5 years, so I can represent to Your Honors as an officer of the court that at no point in this proceeding, prior to Judge Sandy's ruling on Mr. Mohaban's request for reconsideration, did any judge or any party or any of the six attorneys that have previously represented Ms. Amdahl raise this issue at any point. It simply never happened that an argument was made that there should be no cap on spousal maintenance.
Ms. Moberg, that being the case, it sounds like perhaps the first argument is it was not necessary for the court to even interpret that provision. No one was asking the court to interpret the provision in order to respond to the modification motion. That being the case, what would it not also be error for us to interpret that provision, rather simply indicate it was error for the court to interpret that provision and leave it at that, without commenting, in other words, on what that provision means, which essentially then would leave the parties at however they interpreted that prior to the spousal maintenance motion?
Well, unfortunately, Your Honor, I see the practicality of that position. However, that would leave the parties in a difficult position, because now that it has been interpreted in this way by Judge Sandy, the respondent is now taking the position that that's what the decree said, even though that's not a position she's ever taken before. And so there is an order right now that has interpreted it and says there is no cap. So that's the order that currently controls in the case, and that is an improper and erroneous order, and that needs to be corrected by the Court of Appeals. Because otherwise, Mr. Mohiban is stuck with an order where he is paying. Again, there's a mathematical difference of opinion about how the relief ordered by Judge Sandy is implemented on the front end of the distribution. But the order from Judge Sandy is clear that after that, there's no limitation on a cap for how that is shared. And that's contrary to the law. The law provides that spousal maintenance needs to be based on need. The judgment and decree that Judge Benson authored meticulously explored that need. And Judge Benson's order also clearly stated that it needs to be capped at that need. The fact that no cap is mentioned in 2019 is easily explained by the robust findings in the decree that state it's expected this will change and a new cap needs to be determined.
But counsel, what you're talking about are broad propositions of law, and what we need to look at here, if we even need to get into the issue, getting to Judge Slater's point, but let's assume for the sake of argument that we did review the district court's reading of the judgment and decree. The judgment and decree in its conclusions of law number 3 states, quote, for 2017 and 2018, tier 2 spousal maintenance shall be up to and shall not exceed $55,000. It only talks about it for 2017, 2018. The way I read your arguments in your briefs, wouldn't you be reading language into that to conclude that that cap extends beyond 2017 and 2018?
I don't agree with that, Your Honor, because if there is no cap after 2019, that would be extraordinary. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I've never seen a case with no cap on Tier 2 spousal maintenance. And that's because
But there's no language in that conclusion of law stating that that will continue beyond 2018.
If that conclusion of law asks a question, what is supposed to happen in 2019, which is, I think, what this is all about. And I agree, Your Honor, it would absolutely be better if we could go back in time and have Judge Benson add a sentence to say what was supposed to happen in 2019. She didn't.
But isn't that part of the whole res judicata issue, is that opportunity took place when the parties were litigating and discussing the judgment and decree and what language should be in there? And in fact, didn't husband ask for a step down after 2018, which the district court rejected?
He asked for a step down and the court didn't reject it, Your Honor. The court deferred it. And so if the question is what happens in 2019, it's critical to look at the whole document. And I also think it's really important to recognize that experienced practitioners in this case never raised this issue because it wasn't identified as an issue. Mr. Mohiban interpreted the judgment and decree as being consistent with Minnesota law.
I'm not sure if I agree with you there, because didn't husband consider this issue and consider it, not only consider it, but raise it to the district court by asking for a step down, whether it was rejected or even if we accept your terminology that it was deferred, it was not incorporated into the judgment and decree. And the time to argue that issue of what happens after 2018 and what that would look like took place then.
So, Your Honor, conclusions and findings should be read harmoniously. And we raised the issue and requested an automatic step down. Judge Benson clearly determined in her findings that that issue was going to be deferred and considered in late 2018. She provided a process by which Mr. Mohiban could administratively present that issue to her.
Okay, and let me stop you there because I think you hit on a key point. Did he present that issue to the district court? Did he raise that issue to the district court after November of 2018?
He did, and that is the, he filed a motion, and that is the string of litigation that has resulted in us being here.
Let me ask a more specific question. Did husband raise the issue of what will happen with respect to the Tier 2 cap, whether it will be a step down, whether it will be the cap continue as is, whether the cap will be reduced? Did he specifically raise that issue of the Tier 2 cap after November of 2018 to the district court to determine, as you said, the district court deferred that issue? Did he then raise after November 2018 the request to have a step down for the cap?
In fall of 2018, and I don't remember the exact date, I don't have that in front of me, but when the house was paid down, as invited by when the mortgage was paid off, as he had been invited to do by the district court, Mr. Mohiban filed a motion saying there's been a change of circumstances, and he specifically requested that the Tier 2 cap be reduced by the amount that he felt her budget had been reduced. But
you said earlier in your arguments that the issue of the Tier 2 cap had never been raised by anybody until the district court interpreted it. That sounds like it's a different argument than the argument that had been presented with respect to the mortgage of reducing the Tier 2 payments by the $23,000 plus.
I understand the distinction, Your Honor. When I said the issue had never been raised, the issue I'm referring to is the argument or interpretation that Judge Benson in 2017, when she issued the decree, intended that there be no cap after 2019. That issue and argument had never been raised. The
okay,
only thing
can,
that's
can
never
I
been
stop
raised
you there
is,
too? I'm absolutely. Sorry to interrupt, counsel, but you said the original district court judge intended. Where in the conclusions of law, which control over the findings of fact, where in the conclusions of law is that expression of the district court judge's intent?
So I just want to make sure I'm understanding your question, Your Honor, and that I answered the previous one. The parties did both talk about the cap and the amount of the cap. With regard to the intention, there is in the conclusion of law we're talking about where it says that this is what the cap will be for 2017 and 2018, and it's silent on 2019. The question then that's been asked is, what does that mean? Judge Sandy interpreted that as meaning Judge Benson clearly intended there be no cap. That is not what the conclusion says. It does not say in 2019 and thereafter there is no cap. It's silent. So then you look to the findings, and there is nothing else, I agree with you, in the conclusions to answer that question. The cap for 2019 and beyond is not mentioned in the conclusion. But the absence of that is explained when you look at the findings, and she clearly enunciates an intent to meet wife's budget and not exceed it. And there's nothing to say that goes away after 2019. And then the provision that's the provision for a revisiting of the cap and the need for spousal maintenance in 2018 is written in. And that is why Mr. Mohiban filed a motion that was solely related to should the cap stay the same or should it be reduced. And when I said it was a novel interpretation, in response to not that motion, but in response to Mr. Mohiban's request for reconsideration, for the first time, Judge Sandy announced that he reads the decree as eradicating the cap in 2019, which is nothing that had ever been argued or interpreted before.
Ms. Moberg, would it be arguably relevant, no longer moot, in a given year when the split at 50% exceeds her income expenses and your client simply pays what his interpretation is equal to the expenses, then it would be up to respondents' counsel to bring a motion because we know what the different interpretations, but that's the point at which it would be directly relevant, the interpretation of that cap, that language we're talking about.
However, Your Honor, right now there is an order that we've had discussions with Judge Sandy. He's made it clear what needs to be happening. And while this appeal is pending, Mr. Mohiban is following the current district court order, which is clearly that he reserve a set amount of money at the front end, and after that, the rest of it is paid equally. If this was a situation where Your Honors felt that he should interpret this his own way and then go back to district court, that seems like a fruitless exercise because we are well aware of what Judge Sandy will order at that point. He's made his interpretation of the judgment and decree clear. So if he needed to issue a different order, we would just be heading back up here again.
So that perhaps it goes to your answer to my first question, is that that's why it is relevant for us to rule on that interpretation.
I agree with that. And Your Honor, my time is almost up, I'd also like to touch on the issue of res judicata, which has been raised. That doctrine has limited application in spousal maintenance cases, which are always subject to modification if there's a substantial change of circumstances. Because there's nothing in the decree that would explain why the cap was eliminated in 2019, there's no way to argue that the circumstances on which that was based have changed. And that's another reason why the reading of the decree that Judge Sandy imposed it doesn't make any sense. I see my time is up. Yes.
Judge Slater, if I may ask one more question.
Yes, you may.
Thank you. Ms. Moberg, to your point, though, with respect to res judicata, you're not taking the position that res judicata cannot apply in family law cases.
I'm not taking that position. It doesn't apply here because the issue was not raised or litigated or decided. The issue of an eradication of the cap in 2019. And I also do think it is important to recognize the limitations of res judicata in spousal maintenance orders that are subject to modification.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And now, counsel for respondent, you may identify yourself for the record and you may respond.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning. My name is Jana Deitch. May it please the court, I represent the respondent in this case, Jane Omdahl. The relief that the respondent is seeking today is that the May 1, 2019 order and October 15, 2019 order be upheld and affirmed by this court, as there was no abuse of discretion by the district court, nor did it err as a matter of law. The overall and ultimate question to this court is, did the district court, in this case Judge Sandy, abuse its broad discretion by enforcing the terms of the 2017 judgment and decree? And the answer to this question is no. Now, counsel for appellant has raised the issue of the Tier 2 spousal maintenance and their position that Judge Sandy erred when he claimed that there was no cap on Tier 2 spousal maintenance starting in 2019. Appellant has framed his argument in terms of the district court interpreting conclusion of law 3 in the 2017 judgment and decree, and that his interpretation was erroneous. However, this argument is false because the district court did not interpret conclusion of law 3. What the district court did was restate what is clearly in conclusion of law 3, in that starting in 2019, there is no cap on the Tier 2 spousal maintenance. I want to touch on one of the questions that your honors asked regarding whether the conclusion of law was silent regarding what should happen in 2019, and I contend it is not. If you look at the language in conclusion of law 3, it specifically states that, and I'm going to read this verbatim because I think it's very important, that appellant shall pay respondent Tier 2 spousal maintenance in the amount of 50% of any year-end distribution received from Stinson Leonard Street Law Firm, period. And the punctuation, I think, is very important. That is its own sentence, its own conclusion. Starting in 2017, the appellant pays respondent one half of all year-end distribution. Next sentence, for 2017 and 2018, Tier 2 spousal maintenance shall be up to and shall not exceed $55,784, period. That gives us the direct intention of the district court, and that it did intend for the respondent to receive 50% of the year-end distributions, the Tier 2 spousal maintenance, and for 2017 and 2018 only, would there be a cap. Put another way, if the district court had intended to place a cap on Tier 2 spousal maintenance for every year in which it would be paid through the year-end distributions, it would not have limited that cap just to 2017 and 2018. I also think it is important in addressing some of the arguments made by the appellant in terms of the harmony between the findings of fact and the conclusions of law. What the appellant wants to ignore is conclusion of law 55, which sets the amount of Tier 2 spousal maintenance at $4,135 per month to my client, respondent, and the finding goes on to state that the court finds the appropriate Tier 2 maintenance for 2017 and 2018 to be a cap of $55,784. When you look at the findings and the conclusion together, they state the same thing. Therefore, Judge Sandy, as sitting as the district court here, did not abuse his discretion, nor did he err as a matter of law when he simply restated what is clearly in the 2017 judgment and decree that only capped the Tier 2 spousal maintenance for those 2 years. If the district court had wanted a formula following 2018, it would have included this. Now, appellant argues that the district court did not include any cap on Tier 2 spousal maintenance following 2018 because it knew that my client's mortgage would be paid off sometime in 2018, and they were invited to raise the issue as part of a review hearing. However, that is pure speculation. As your honors have already addressed and is part of our overall briefing, the appellant did make a very specific request that in 2019 or the end of 2018, that the Tier 2 maintenance step down to reflect that the mortgage would be paid off. And the district court, Judge Benson sitting at that time, did reject that argument because she didn't include it. So while appellant's counsel can argue that it was deferred, what Judge Benson really said was, I can't speculate as to whether the mortgage will be paid off. Therefore, I'm not going to address it at this time. You, as part of spousal maintenance being modified in the future, if there's a change of circumstance, if you can meet that burden, you can bring your motion at that time. And that is what the appellant did. And he prevailed because the district court did reduce the amount of Tier 2 spousal maintenance starting in 2019 based on that change of circumstance, which is Ms. Omdahl's mortgage was paid off, and therefore the district court did reduce her share of the Tier 2 spousal maintenance. Mr. Moabon, the appellant here, is to receive the first $14,400 of any year-end distributions. He keeps that all for himself, so therefore he's made whole on the reduction in my client's budget as found by the district court.
But counsel, isn't what the district court did here a little bit of a bait and switch and give husband a little bit of a pyrrhic victory? Because while the district court did reconsider its original decision not to reduce the tier one calculation at all, it ultimately did, but it didn't do it at the amount that the mortgage had been decreased for wife, and then said, oh, by the way, there's no cap, even though I'm only giving you 14 rather than 23 as basically is going to be the baseline, there's no cap on the top. So isn't that inconsistent with when you look at the entire order and really case law that you don't want to give a spouse a windfall? Isn't she now going to get a windfall there?
Not necessarily, because we don't know what year-end distributions look like, and that's exactly why.
Let me stop you there. Didn't she ultimately get a windfall if we uphold the decision with respect to the at least 2019? We know what those numbers look like, right?
We know, and that's one of our issues in terms of asking portions of that to be stricken. I know that's appellant's argument that she has received more. I don't know the exact amount she's received, and I don't want it. I won't get into it here, but we don't have all the documentation to prove it. She potentially has received more than what her stated budget is. However, I think in looking at this long term and also in looking at this somewhat procedurally, which I think could be helpful for the court in viewing this, when the appellant first brought his motion, it was initially denied because the district court had believed that Ms. Omdahl, the respondent, had not received the full amount of Tier 2 spousal maintenance due to her, so it did not address that issue of the cap as part of that order. Then, as part of the appellant's motion for reconsideration, and they pointed out that she had received the full amount of Tier 2 spousal maintenance, then Judge Sandy addressed the issue. He denied the request for the modification to begin with, and then when he realized that what he had believed to happen had not happened, that's in the May 1, 2019 order. That's when he stated that he's in reviewing carefully, and unfortunately nobody else, or fortunately, had done a careful reading of that language in the judgment and decree, that starting in 2019 there wasn't a cap. Now, in terms of the $14,000 versus the $23,000, the court reduced it. It did not do a dollar-for-dollar reduction. However, that is not an error of law. That falls squarely within Judge Sandy's abuse of discretion, his discretion in terms of what should the appropriate reduction be for this. He stated in detail his concerns that if Ms. Omdahl does not receive any year-end distributions or she receives less, if there isn't anything to share in, or she gets only a very little bit, she has a very reduced budget. She has a huge deficit, and therefore that was his explanation in terms of why it was the $14,400 versus $23,000. So there was roughly a $763 per month difference between what Judge Sandy ordered versus what the appellant was seeking. That is, in our opinion, a de minimis difference in terms of the change, and the appellant did get what he wanted, which was a reduction in his spousal maintenance based upon the the respondent having a portion of her budget reduced because the mortgage was paid off.
Ms. Deitch?
I would also, yes.
Assuming that you're correct that there, and the district court's correct that there's no express cap after 2019 on the Tier 2 amount or obligation, wouldn't Dobrin in cases of similar principle teach that there's an implicit cap based upon need?
The court did look at, as part of Minnesota 518.552, one of the factors was what is the standard of living, and set a budget for both of the parties. This court, and there's extensive case law, which we do quote in our brief, that it is not an abuse of discretion to award a fixed sum, such as the Tier 1 maintenance, which was done, and a percentage based on bonuses or other distributions that an obligor is going to receive and pay that to the spousal maintenance to the obligee. It is well established that as part of spousal maintenance, the person who's receiving maintenance should not just have their bare needs met. The idea is to keep both parties living at the standard of living that they had during the marriage as close as they could possibly be. And so by awarding Tier 1, which is a fixed amount, in fact, my client is receiving less than 50% of that base draw that the appellant is receiving, so he's receiving more on a monthly basis. She's receiving less out of the Tier 2, or the year end, which is the Tier 2 spousal maintenance. So at the end of the day, the appellant still has more income from which he can use to meet his expenses than Ms. Omdahl does.
Right. And I'm focusing on the obligee's need and the case law. I mean, you're correct that there seems to be some discretion allowed in the district court, but at the same time, it seemed to me that the district court in the judgment and decree here was attempting to base the spousal maintenance on need, and attempting to track it. And I just want to get a sense of whether you believe the district court was acting erroneously by apparently disregarding the need element when it comes to tier two.
I do not believe that the district court acted erroneously by not, I guess, in, I think he did, I think Judge Sandy did look at her need, and that is why he had the language that he included in terms of the reduction for the payoff of the mortgage. I do not believe that Judge Sandy was required to do more beyond that based on the clear language in the 2017 judgment and decree, which the appellant never appealed. And this is essentially a backdoor into the court to appeal the issue now, 3+ years later after the fact, when it wasn't appealed at the time. And it has now become the law of the case.
Ms. Deitch,
yes.
I thought the way you'd characterized it, obviously there's two different interpretations, and there was no need, there was no briefing, it was in the motions, no one argued it. Would that not at a minimum be a relevant issue for modification at any given time? And that goes to Judge Ross's point, since we're now interpreting it, the question ultimately as to whether a existing spousal maintenance award, which here would be tier two, is reasonable and fair, would go to, in part, obligee's needs. And the judge here did not take that into account by simply interpreting it as an open-ended cap.
And the reason that Judge Sandy did that is, and as he states in his order, he was not given the information by the appellant in order to determine if the having just the 50% with some reduction would be in excess of my client's need.
But isn't that in part because the judge surprised everyone with that interpretation? In other words, it was not part of a motion. It was not intended because, frankly, I'm assuming, at least that's what counsel has said, appellant did not so interpret it that way, did not feel a need to do so.
That is how appellant addressed it. However, I don't think that the judge, again, our issue, but what we're arguing is that there wasn't an interpretation of the judgment and decree. Judge Sandy didn't surprise anybody with a novel interpretation or doing something other than what the 2017 judgment and decree stated. And looking at it now and looking at it in the terms of the appellant's request for a modification, he had the discretion to say that I'm applying the 2017 judgment and decree. It clearly states that there is no cap on the tier two spousal maintenance starting in 2019. But I am going to reduce it by this amount based on the reduction in the respondent's budget. And I see that I'm out of time, Your Honors.
May I ask just one quick follow-up, Judge Sluter?
Certainly.
Yes, Judge Ross, you may.
I mean, you keep saying that the judgment and decree says there is no cap after 2018. Isn't it more accurate to say that the judgment and decree imposes an express cap on 2017 and 2018 and is silent as to 2019 and beyond? Isn't that more accurate?
It is accurate to say that there was an express cap on 2017 and 2018, and there was no language other than the starting in 2017 that the respondent would receive 50% of the year-end distribution, going back to that additional sentence prior to where the cap is stated. Does that answer your question, Your Honor?
I think so.
Thank you very much.
Very well. Thank you, Ms. Deitch. And Ms. Boberg, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
I just remembered to unmute myself. I'm proud. Judge Ross, I agree with you wholeheartedly that there's a big difference between a statement that there's no cap versus it being silent. I also agree with you that we would tend to read judges' orders, assuming they're consistent with Minnesota law. And when Mr. Mohiban received this order, where it doesn't say there's no cap in 2019, it's silent. So I question, why then do you leap to the conclusion that the silence means there's no cap? Couldn't the silence just as easily mean we're going to talk about whether there's a cap, and if so, what that cap should be? That's what he did when he filed his motion, and he was surprised by Judge Sandy issuing this order saying, oh, there's no cap. The decree says there's no cap, when in fact the decree doesn't say that. Dobrin does apply. There's an implicit cap. And if you look at the document, there's pages after pages, I think 12 of them, where the court meticulously examines Ms. Amdahl's budget. There was no explanation as to why that 12 pages of meticulous analysis would go out the window in 2019. So he had nothing to appeal because he had no indication that the judge was thinking there would be no cap. And in terms of a windfall, Judge Reyes, I agree with your concern. I've never heard the phrase pirate's victory, but I think it applies here because we know that in 2017 and 2018, Ms. Amdahl received every penny of the fully contemplated spousal maintenance. That means that Mr. Mohiban's income in those 2 years either met or exceeded the cap level. And we know that that happened in 2019 as well. And
but,
so
but,
if
but the counsel, cap, but counsel, yes. To that point, it didn't, the district court did seem to take into account, both judges, the fact that nobody really knows what's going to happen in the future. And by and not going out beyond, the original district court judge said, we're not going to go beyond 2018 because we don't know what's going to happen. The mortgage could be paid off. If it is, then you certainly are welcome to come back and seek a modification. And you can seek a modification whenever there's a change of circumstances in family law. And the fact that the spousal maintenance conclusion of law be that first sentence talks about there being that respondent shall receive one half of any year distributions, that doesn't have any reference to any time frame at all. So that seems to be ongoing. I think the parties did agree that she is entitled to ongoing spousal maintenance. So when looking at that sentence in light of the restriction for the cap only for 2017, 2018, doesn't that seem to indicate that from, except for 2017, 2018, she's entitled to receive one half of the distributions over whatever modification is made. And that takes into account the uncertainty of whether or not he would even get distributions. And so, for example, here's my point, counsel, is let's assume he did not receive any year-end distributions, no bonuses, no nothing. She would have suffered by receiving zero in the tier two payments. She would not have received enough money to even pay her basic needs of roughly $9,000, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor. And the way that tier two spousal maintenance works is it's proportionately sharing that pain. If there's a year where Mr. Mohiban doesn't have any distribution income, it means he doesn't have any of that income either. And he's also had to live significantly reduced budget for that year, but then the next year they start afresh.
And to that point, if it's going to be sharing of the pain, wouldn't it be sharing of the gain?
So, Your Honor, there are cases where there's a rolling cap where it recognizes if he has six really great years and one really awful year, that might not be fair for her. And a rolling cap addresses that. That is not what the court ordered in this case. And so that issue is not something that is to be addressed here. The court in finding 52 without qualification to 2017 and 2018 explained the rationale for a tier one to tier two basis and very clearly states that tier two spousal maintenance is intended to meet her budget up to a cap at which she's received the amount needed for her budget. And that finding doesn't say for 2017 and 2018, it's a general finding. If I may close, Your Honors, I want to be clear about the relief that Mr. Mohiban is requesting. There's been enough litigation here and there's a fully developed record. Neither of the parties is asking for a remand. He would like a straight reversal. There's the issue of the cap amount, which one of Your Honors identified was either going to be $14,400 or the full $23,556, which is the reduction of the mortgage. So Your Honors have the information that you need to decide if which of those numbers is the appropriate reduction to the cap. Mr. Mohiban is asking that reduction be implemented by reducing the cap in the judgment and decree, not by taking it off the front end and then having a limitless cap beyond that. It's important to note just briefly that the way that this court implemented the math on the $14,400 reduction was wrong. By only giving him that number, half of which is his anyways, he's only getting the benefit of half the reduction which is exacerbating the error that the district court created here. And if there are no further questions, Your Honors, I'm happy to end my remarks.
It appears there are none. Thank you, counsel.
My pleasure.
And thank you to both counsel. We appreciate your comments and answers to questions today and your briefing. Interesting issues indeed, and we appreciate it. So we will be taking the matter under advisement in the usual course, and you both have a great day.